I invite you to look this morning at a wonderful picture that is before us in our reading this morning from Jeremiah chapter 33. To set the stage, Jeremiah, the mourning prophet, as he is called, the weeping prophet, has been convincing the Jewish people that they are in big trouble. They are going to be sent into captivity. They are going to be conquered by the Babylonian nation. And as these hard-headed Israelites say, no, we're doing just fine, we're not changing our ways, Jeremiah prophesies destruction and despair. But now suddenly in Jeremiah chapter 33, God speaks to Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know. And he says, do you want to know what those great and mighty things are, Jeremiah? Though you have been tasked with such a grievous prophecy of destruction and calamity and of heartache and sorrow for the Israelite people, I'm going to tell you something, Jeremiah. One day, the captivity is going to be done. One day, the conquering is going to be over. One day, you are going to come back to your land. And the wonderful picture that God paints for us through Jeremiah here is of a people, a ransomed, redeemed people coming back to Israel. And look what he says in verse number 10. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place. Where? In Jerusalem. Which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast. Even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast. In other words, those that were emptied as a result of being taken captive, of being taken from their land into a foreign country. The voice of joy is heard and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. The voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. This prophecy was fulfilled, at least in part, when a number of years later, the captive Israelites returned back to Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple of the Lord. They rebuilt the walls of the city. And the books of Ezra and Nehemiah tell us the joy that came as again the voice of joy and gladness, the voice of the sacrifice of praise to the Lord rung out through the streets of Jerusalem. I was struck by a simple phrase from that passage. A phrase that just rang in my heart from just about the moment I read it. It was this phrase. The sacrifice of praise. Think about that phrase. The sacrifice of praise. And it began working in my mind. I had heard that phrase before. And where had I heard that phrase before? In Hebrews chapter 13. When now not a prophecy to the Israelites, not a prophecy to those who were about to be led away captive, but now in a command to all the people of God, all the children of God, in every Christian church, the author of Hebrews commands us, let us, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. This morning, my title this is simply the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. And we're going to look at this beautiful picture of a sacrifice of praise being brought into the house of the Lord for the people of Israel. We are going to move that into the New Testament dimension that we're in right now. This command of the author of Hebrews, let us by him offer the sacrifice of praise. And we're going to ask whether we are fulfilling that command here this morning to offer up to God a fitting and joyful sacrifice to him that honors him and with which he is well pleased. And if, as we leave here, we will be fulfilling the command of Almighty God to offer that sacrifice of praise, not on a Sunday morning service alone, not in a devotional time alone, but as Hebrews 13 tells us, continually. The sacrifice of praise. First of all, about this sacrifice of praise, let's understand what I'm going to call the scheme of this sacrifice. The scheme of this sacrifice of praise. And I don't mean in some sense of a mysterious scheme or a tricky scheme. I simply mean, what does it look like? What are the broad outlines, the contours of this sacrifice of praise? Who is praising whom? And what are they doing in and how in this sacrifice of praise? First of all, in this scheme, let's understand that the praise is to be to God. To God. And by this we might say that it is intentional. It is an intentional sacrifice of praise. Now, to understand why this is true, we need to understand the picture of sacrifices in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God set up a scheme, you might say, by which the people of Israel, His chosen people, interacted and communed with God. And they did it through a series of sacrifices. They would go to the temple of God with an animal, and they would give the animal to the priest when, for instance, they had sinned. And they would give the animal to the priest, and the priest would sacrifice the animal. He would kill the animal, and he would sacrifice the animal to God. In other words, they went through a high priest to get to God with, by the means of, a sacrifice. Now, can you imagine the intentionality that would have happened when these men and women brought their sacrifices to God? Can you imagine the thought that would have gone into it when they would have said, okay, we're living miles from Jerusalem, but now is the time to bring sacrifice to God. All right, I got to go out to my flock. I got to go find the right animal that is going to be pleasing to God. I've got to go take that animal, or maybe if it were a sacrifice of thanksgiving, they would go gather their crops that they were going to come and offer to God, and they would reap that harvest. They would take the first fruits of it, the first part of it. They would come to God. And can you imagine walking that road to Jerusalem, walking those streets with an animal being led behind that would be sacrificed, with an armful of grain or some other kind of sacrifice? And if you would ask them, where are you going? They would say, oh, I'm going to the temple. Why are you doing that? Well, I've got to make a sacrifice. Say, well, what are you doing? Who are you giving that sacrifice to? They say, to God. To God, I'm taking this animal and I'm going to give it to the high priest and I'm doing it to God. That tells us something about our sacrifice of praise. It is to be intentional. We are not simply to open up our hymn book and mindlessly sing, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer, and then consider our sacrifice of praise having been accomplished. No. If we think of the picture of that man or woman intentionally bringing the sacrifice and say, here you go, God. So it is, the sacrifice of praise for each of us is pointed and directed toward Him, saying, God, here it is. Here's my sacrifice to you. It's to God. Secondly, we understand that it is by Christ. It is by Christ. And in that, we might say that it is instrumented. There is an instrumentality through which we offer our sacrifice to God. Now, Hebrews 13 makes this clear. It says, by Him, who is it speaking of? Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, what does this mean? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament picture. Were any of you children listening when I said someone brought an animal to sacrifice to God, who would they give it to sacrifice? The priest. They would give it to a priest, and the priest would take it and kill the sacrifice, or he would take the grain and he would put it on the altar, and he would be the one to be the instrument of offering it to God. Now, friends, in the New Testament dimension that we're in now, We do not go and offer sacrifices through a priest. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and sheep could never take away sin. They were only meant as a picture to point us forward to Jesus Christ, the one who by one sacrifice, one day 2,000 years ago, hung on the cross and sacrificed his body for you and for me. That was the one sacrifice with which God was truly pleased. The unblemished and perfect Lamb of God who gave of his life so that we could be forgiven of our sin and enter into fellowship with God. One sacrifice is all that was needed for us. But now, God says there's still a sacrifice that I want from you. It's the sacrifice of praise. And by Jesus Christ, you come and offer through his work as a high priest, you offer your sacrifice of praise to God. Do you know what that tells me? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't praise God. Do you know different metaphors that Jesus used in Scripture? He said, I am the door. I am the door that allows you into the sheepfold, God's sheepfold. He says, I am the way. If you don't come by my way, you can't get to the Father. Do you know why that's true? It's because Jesus reveals God to us. If you have ever been to a sporting event, you may have seen a little bit of a fun game they do. They'll put one of the players' faces on the big screen, but they'll completely cover it up. And then they'll give a little clue to try to identify this person. This person was born in Manitoba, Canada. And as they do that, a little piece of that covering will break off. Suddenly you'll see the guy's eyes. And they'll try to say, oh, who is that guy? Who is that? And then they'll give another clue and something else will come off and you'll see the right side of his cheekbone. You'll say, oh, who does that look like? Now, without Jesus Christ, we have a completely shrouded view of who God is. We see some things about him. We can look up into heaven and say, wow, you must be a powerful God. You made all this. We look up into him and say, wow, you must be a wise God. You created everything that we see. But without Jesus Christ, without the picture of who he is revealing God to us, we can't know God's love. We can't know fully his mercy. We can't fully know his glorious goodness, his long-suffering, his patience to us. And in that sense, Jesus reveals God to us. That's why someone without Jesus Christ can't truly glorify God, because he doesn't have a true picture of who God is. He doesn't truly know what God looks like to praise. So when Jesus Christ comes by him to God, we offer the sacrifice of praise. And notice third, that it's from me. In other words, that it's individual. My sacrifice of praise is not a collective sacrifice. In other words, I can't give you my obligation to sacrifice. I say, I don't really feel like sacrificing praise to God today, but can you do it for me? No. In other words, it is our individual duty to offer praise to God, to give him a sacrifice that pleases him, of praising him with our lips. So first of all, we see here the scheme of this wonderful picture here of a sacrifice of praise. It is to God. It is intentional. It is by Christ. It is instrumented. And third, it is from me. It is individual, from my lips, giving praise to God. Secondly, let's understand here the substance of this sacrifice. The substance of this sacrifice of praise. What does this sacrifice look like? How do we do it? Why do we do it? Well, let's deal with these things one at a time. The substance of praise I want to talk, first of all, is in the fact that it is consecrated. It is a consecrated sacrifice. Now, if I were to come before you and to say, what is the first word that comes to your mind when I say a sacrifice? We might have many different words that spring to mind. We might say death. According to the Old Testament picture, the animal that came to be sacrificed gave his life. He died. We might say a sacrifice, the word that comes to mind would be costly. If I give a sacrifice to you, it is costing me something. I'm doing something for your good at my expense. Or we might say a word that might come to mind when we think of the idea of a sacrifice is a gift. Something that I'm giving you without thought of a further reward or gain on my own. But do you understand that in each of these words, There is, in the idea of sacrifice, a submission. In the idea of sacrifice, a stripping ourselves of what we want and saying, here's what you want. You know, this is something that is such a wonderful picture of true love, whether when in a relationship between a husband and wife, in a relationship between parents and children. There is the giving of ourselves. There is the submitting of our own wills and desires to the will and desire of the one we love. A husband might say, honey, I'll be honest with you, I don't really love doing this activity, but I know that you love it. And because I love you, I will submit my desires. I will give of my desires to you, and I will find joy in doing what you love to do. That's called a sacrifice. And it's a very meaningful sacrifice when there's that kind of submission, when there's that kind of subjugating our own will and desire to the will and desire of someone else. And so it is when we offer a sacrifice of praise to God, what it comes at is not saying, God, I'm doing it my way, in my method, in what I love. We're coming to Him and saying, God, what do you want? I'll do it. What kind of praise glorifies you? I will offer it. Not what kind of praise makes me feel good. Not what kind of praise makes me really think that I've found you today. It's what kind of praise do you want? It's a consecrated praise. It's a sacrifice that gets on the altar and dies and say, God, whatever you want. You are the one who's in charge of this sacrifice. Secondly, though, in the substance of this sacrifice, let's understand it's not just consecrated. It must be careful. It must be careful. Going back to the very earliest days of creation, you remember the story of a man named Cain and a man named Abel, two brothers, one named Cain, brought a sacrifice to God, and God was not pleased with it. God said, that's not what I desire. You have not brought me the sacrifice in the right attitude or in the right way. He said, I'm not pleased with this, and he rejected it. And a man named Abel came to God, Cain's brother, and brought a sacrifice that was acceptable to God, one that God was pleased with. And this great division between the two of them led Cain in his envy and jealousy to actually kill his brother. But do you know that throughout the relationship of God to man, there has always been the problem of man trying to offer sacrifices to God that God doesn't like? In Malachi chapter 1, God says to his people, he says, you bring me these animals that are just all blemished. You bring me these sacrifices that I'm not pleased with because they're not your best. And God said to them, go bring it to your governor. Go bring it to your political leader. Do you think he would be pleased with that? Do you think he would enjoy what you're bringing him? Do you think he would say, oh, well done. Well, then why are you bringing it to God? Now let's think about our sacrifices of praise. Let's think about when we stood up this morning and said, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. And meanwhile, our mind was off miles away at the football game this afternoon or the football game yesterday or the things we have to do this week. We stood up to sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And let me ask you something. If you were to offer that sacrifice of praise that you just offered this morning to your husband or to your wife, would they accept it? If you would have offered that sacrifice of praise this morning to your boss or to your friend, would they have been pleased with it? Well, then why would God be? Why would God be pleased with that sacrifice? Oh, no, friends, what we see in Scripture is what's held up before us is a sacrifice that says, God, whatever you want, and then goes with great care to tune our hearts, to quiet ourselves, and to say, God, you take my best. You take my best thoughts. You take the stirrings of my heart, and I'm giving these up to you as you deserve it. Oh, friends, what passes for praise in a church, I fear, falls so far beneath anything that God could be actually glorified with, actually pleased with, when our minds are so distracted. Just as one practice, I encourage you, when you come into the worship of God, When you come in, whether it's in your devotions in the morning, whether it's in the worship service this morning, whether it's in the worship service this evening, care less about talking with those around you and care more about tuning your heart to give God the very best sacrifice of praise that you can. Care less about worrying about who is sitting where and what everyone is wearing and who is doing what and who is saying what, and worry, as the hymn writer says, tune my heart to sing your praise. Friends, is God pleased with our thoughtless sacrifices of praise, with our distracted sacrifices of praise? No, He's not. He wants the careful sacrifice that would have been exemplified by that one Israelite going into his flock, searching for the best sheep, the best lamb to give, the best crop in his harvest to give, and then going intentionally and saying, God, this is for you. Here is your sacrifice. So first of all, we see here then, it's a consecrated sacrifice of praise. Secondly, we see it's a careful sacrifice of praise. And third, we see that it's a communicated sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13 says that we offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips. I love that phrase, the fruit of our lips. Do you know we can praise God in our heart? We can worship and bow down before Him, and we can speak in our mind to Him and praise Him in our minds, but God's not content with that kind of sacrifice alone. He wants your words. He wants you to speak His praise. He wants you to sound forth His praise in groups here. He wants you to sound forth His praise from your lips in your family settings. He wants you to sound forth His praise, yes, by yourself in your prayer closet. He wants you to sound forth His praise around your work colleagues, around your friends at school, around your neighbors. He wants to hear your words. It is the fruit of your lips. Now, for some of us, and I'm including myself in this group, we find it very easy for the words of God, the praise of God, to roll off our lips here at church. The praise of God to roll off our lips around another. And, oh, praise God. Oh, did you see what God did for me today? Oh, I'm so grateful. And then we're at work, and suddenly those words dry up on our tongues. We're around our friends at school, a little nervous whether they'll think we're a little strange when we say, no, this is what God did for me today. No, God is so good. I'm so blessed right now. And suddenly that mouth becomes silent. That fruit of our lips shrivel on the vine and die. No, friends, that's not the sacrifice of praise that God wants. He wants it to be communicated. Now, friends, I have the benefit or perhaps the curse of standing here up front while we sing the praises of God. And it's very interesting at times to simply look out and see who's communicating the praise of God and who's not. Who is sitting mute, maybe a hymnal not even open, as everyone else is lifting their hearts up in praise to God. Friends, that's not a sacrifice of praise that God wants. He wants your lips to speak His name, to praise Him for who He is and what He's done. We sang this morning right before the message, the words, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And what a foul mockery it is for us to sing those words to God and say, God, I wish I had 1,000 tongues to sing your praise, when we're not using the one He's actually given us. It's a foul mockery. May we be the ones that truly lift up our voices in praise to Him. You say, I'm not a singer. Do you think He cares? He gave you your voice. Let it be heard. You say, I'm a little worried about, I'm going to be embarrassed. Someone's going to look at me and think that I'm not too talented in that. Do you think He cares? He said, offer the sacrifice of praise. Offer the fruit of your lips. Let it be heard. Who cares who hears? You're praising your God. You're showing your gratitude to Him. Oh, the sacrifice of praise, the scheme, it's to God, it's by Christ and by Christ alone. It is from me to Him. The substance of that praise is that it is consecrated as your praise, what you want. It is careful to give Him of our best thoughts, our best words, and it is also communicated from our lips. But third, and perhaps most importantly, I'd like to talk about the source of praise, the source of this sacrifice of praise. You see, because the people of Israel understood that it was right for them to give praise to God. If you go through the Psalms, you see over and over again a command, praise the Lord, praise Him all ye people, praise Him with all instruments, praise Him, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. They knew that they were supposed to praise Him. But do you know that all over and over again the Israelites, and then by extension us in the family of God, come to God with some kind of sacrifice of praise on our lips. And God looks at us and says, well did Isaiah say of this people draws nigh me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, friends, we can stand up here with our lips this morning and cast off thoughtlessly the praises of God, and our heart is miles away. We can sit up here and say thoughtlessly, praise God, praise God, praise God. But if our heart is far from Him, God's not pleased. That's not something that God loves. He finds it repulsive. He finds it repugnant. He finds that kind of hypocrisy nauseating. And so the question for us today is, if we truly have our hearts stirred to want to offer God this sacrifice of praise, our best sacrifice, our careful sacrifice, our consecrated sacrifice, where must it come from? What is the source of that praise, of that sacrifice? First of all, when we think about this source, let's understand the response. The response. Do you know that praise to God is always necessarily a response? A response to what He has done for us? And how do we understand this? We see it even in Hebrews chapter 13. Because what the very interesting phrase that the author of Hebrews uses is he says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. Do you know fruit is always a response? It is never the cause, the initial cause. When you look at a fruit, a piece of fruit hanging on a tree, what do you say? You don't say, well, that was great. That was pretty magical that that fruit appeared. That fruit has a lot of power. No, you say there's life in that tree. And because there's life in that tree, it is coming out in fruit on the vine, fruit on the branch. It's a response. And so it is, the sacrifice of praise from our lips does not start at our lips. It does not start even in our mind. It starts with a response from the heart. A response from the heart to who God is and what He has done for us. If you go through the Psalms, you see this over and over again. Psalm 150, this great anthem of praise to God, says, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for His excellent greatness. And the picture is of the psalmist looking up at God and saying, wow, You've done some mighty acts. And my response is to praise You for them. I look at Him and say, God, You have amazing goodness. Your love for me is so astonishing. It floors me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. And the response of my heart is to say, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. It is the fruit that comes up that is produced by the recognition, the response of the heart to who God is. Now, friends, do you know this is what God wants from each of us? The old author, C.S. Lewis, said that one of the things before he came to Christ that held him back was that he felt like when he went into the Psalms, he saw all these commands to praise God. And he said, I just didn't understand it. It seemed to me like some vain creature, like some woman just preening and desperate for praise, for God who is all-powerful to say, praise me. But do you know that what C.S. Lewis realized is that praise is everywhere around us? Think back to this week, all the words of praise that sprung naturally from your lips. You woke up in the morning and you walked outside and we had a beautiful week this morning and you said, oh, what a beautiful day. There was a sacrifice of praise that you just offered. Did someone have to come and tell you, you make sure you say what a beautiful day it is? No. You saw the beautiful day and you say, wow, it's beautiful. What a beautiful day. If you were at a sporting event this week or you were at some other place and you saw some jaw-dropping athletic feat and your jaw dropped and you said, wow, what an incredible move. What an incredible catch. Did someone have to come by and say, tap you on the shoulder and say, you know what, I'm going to command you to praise that athletic feat? No, you saw it. You responded to it with the fruit of your lips. You saw, wow, what a great catch. Why shouldn't the praise of our God be the exact same? That we open the Word of God and we see the attributes of God given and we say, wow, you're amazing. I'm going to praise you. We open our hymn book today and we sing of all the work that God has done in this world and we read it and our heart is stirred and we say, I'm going to praise you. You don't need to command me to. It's just flowing out of my heart because I've seen you. I see how wonderful you are and I just want to praise you. I want to let everyone else know about it. You see, friends, it is the response, and it's not just a response, it's a joyful response. It is the delighted response of one who sees beauty, who sees glory, and who says, I am just overflowing with praise. I'm overflowing with my words. As Jesus said, what the heart is full of, the mouth speaks. Whatever your heart is abounding in and coming, your mouth is going to speak. So friends, I ask you, what do you speak about? What do you talk about? Is your heart overflowing through your lips, through your tongue, the greatness of God and who He is? Well, if you're not, you're not offering sacrifices of praise. Oh friends, the joy that we can have in these abundant sacrifices of praise that we can offer to God. Secondly, let's understand that the source of this is not just in its response, but in secondly, its routine. In its routine. Do you notice the remarkable phrase that is used here? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, tell me the next word. What's the next word? If you have your Bible open in Hebrews chapter 13, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to Him, to God. What's the next word? Continually. Now think about that. Continually. What does continually mean? Does anyone know what the word to be continual mean? What does it mean to continue doing something? To keep on doing it what? Over and over and over again. How does God want you to praise Him? Does He want you to praise Him just once? No. He wants you to praise Him over and over and over continually. Now we understand, I think, if I were to ask you, how often does God want you to pray? What would you say? All the time, right? Always. Pray about everything. But do you know the same duty is placed upon you? The same command is placed upon you to praise Him? Not only the spirit of prayer at all times, but the spirit of praise at all times. Why? Well, look at Philippians chapter 4 as just one example. We are to pray about everything, and when we are to do it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving in all things. Now, what does that tell us about where our heart needs to be? Our heart should be the overflowing response continually, so satisfied with what Jesus Christ is and who He is to us, that we can't help, if it will, of calling out to Him and of praising Him. Now, let me just address one perhaps question. You say, sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm barely ambulatory. I want to get up and kick my dog. I want to get up and I don't even want to eat breakfast. I'm so crabby, I'm so grumpy. What am I supposed to do? Well, don't you think the right response is to come to Him and say, God, I can't offer the sacrifice of praise to You right now. My heart's not in it. My heart is not warm to You right now. God, tune my heart. Tune my heart to sing Your praise right now. God, I'm coming into the worship of service this morning and I'm distracted. My mind's a million other places. God, You make me ready. You let me see something about me that stirs my heart to overflowing again so I can spontaneously give the praise that You are worthy of. Friend, the routine, may it be true of us, continually offering that sacrifice of praise. Finally, let's understand very quickly the result. The result of this sacrifice of praise. First of all, the result for you. What is the result for you when you offer to God the sacrifice of praise? Is to do exactly what God made you to do. The Westminster Catechism tells us so wonderfully that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And that tells me that when you are continually offering sacrifices of praise to God, He is being heard from your lips. You are intentionally giving it up to Him out of the abundance of your heart. You are doing what you were put here on earth to do. And you are giving a wonderful picture of what you will be in heaven to do. Praise Him for eternity continually. Over and over. Now, friends, a fish is a wonderful thing. A fish swimming around in the sea is a wonderful, beautiful thing. But a fish on the sea or on the land is not so wonderful a thing. We might look at someone who's so gifted in athletics and we see them fly through the air and do these wonderful things and we say, that's what you should be doing. And then if we were to see that person stuck in an office chair somewhere tucked away, we'd say, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So it is, friends, when we offer the sacrifice of praise to God, we are meeting our end here on earth, the job that we have been put on earth to do. But the second result here is that God says, with those sacrifices of praise, out of an abundant, joyful heart that calls out my name, that confesses and acknowledges my name, I, God says, am well pleased. Do you want to please God, friend? Do you want to stir the heart of God? Well, then praise Him. Praise Him with your lips. Praise Him out of a heart that sees Him and acknowledges Him for who He does, for who He is, that is abounding in love for who He is. Now, friend, why does God find such pleasure in that? Why does God find such pleasure? Well, it's actually, I think, because it's true when we praise Him. But do you know that when we are finding our satisfaction in God, God is honored in us? I'll just give you one example as we close. If I were to take this cup of water to one of you, and I were to say, hey, do you want to drink this cup of water here? I've got it perfectly for you. It is so, you will never thirst again. It will be the best water you've ever tasted, and you will never have any longing after this. Let's say I were to offer it to one of you that were drinking a bottle of water, but that it were just filled with mud. It were filled with uncleanness and impurity, and you were drinking that, and I was saying, no, here, take this. This is so much better. Can you imagine? How would I be honored if you took that water and just took a quick sip of it and said, all right, okay, thanks. Where would be my praise? Where would be my honor? Where would be my glory? But what if I gave it to you and you took the water and you drank it and you said, I'm not thirsty anymore. That was the best water I've ever had. You stood up in front of everyone and you said, hey, you need to come drink of this water. This is the best water I've ever tasted. He's the one who gave it to me. Go to Him. He'll give you some too. You should taste this water. Would I be glorified? Would I be honored? Would I be pleased? Yes. Now think of God. When He has given us, offered us the water of life freely that will allow us to meet all our needs, to be fully satisfied in Him. And when we are satisfied in Him and the abundance of our heart comes out with the praise of our lips to Him, He is honored. He is glorified because we are pointing people to Him. Let me have two thoughts by way of closing. First of all, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, you can never offer the sacrifice of praise to God because the only sacrifice of praise to God that glorifies and pleases Him is that which comes through Jesus Christ. Won't you come to Jesus Christ this morning and find what you were put here to do, designed to do, to praise and honor Jesus, praise and honor God through Jesus Christ? But friend, if you're a Christian here this morning and you've been saved, you've experienced the water of life, He has done so much for you. What is the status of your praise life? What is the status of your heart that's overflowing in all circumstances throughout the day, in every minute of the day, every hour of the day, whether here in church or elsewhere, to give Him of the very best sacrifice that you have? Oh, friend, may you see today this glorious picture of the sacrifice of praise, and may it stir in your heart a desire to offer that same sacrifice to Him continually. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for Your work. We're so grateful for your work of salvation for us. I pray, Lord, that if there's one here who doesn't know Jesus Christ, who's never come to him by faith, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Let's pause and quiet our hearts before the Lord this morning. If there's one here who would say, I need Jesus Christ, I need to go through that door, I need to find that way to God, we leave an opportunity at the end of every morning service to slip out from where you are, come and kneel at these steps. Someone will take a Bible and show you how you can experience the water of life that is always satisfying. Is there one that would come this morning? Say, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need to start offering that sacrifice of praise to God. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Father, may it be so for each of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.